I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next.
And that is Speaker Johnson. Now, Speaker Johnson, through a series of legislative maneuvers, including getting a rule that allow them to have a vote on Ukraine aid, and they're going to get $65 billion, $15 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Indochina. There's also going to be a border plan within that. Stephen Moore is with us right now. He's a former chief of staff in the U.S. House of Representatives and founder of the Ukraine Freedom Project, which raises money to aid Ukraine. And you just got back from Ukraine, right?
Yeah, I live in Kyiv, and I've been there since day five of the war. And so I've seen it all.
And your thoughts about what Speaker Johnson just said? Time matters.
Yeah, exactly. This needs to happen quickly. And he was right to point out that you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are working together: Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea. And they're working together to cause problems in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, and around the world. And we need to focus on pushing back on these folks.
Why do you think so many Republicans are not for this?
Yeah, good question. Well, there's a in the House of Representatives, there's about 70 members of the Hell No Caucus that are just not going to vote for Ukraine. There's about 80 that recognize the national security implications, that recognize we're on the verge of World War III here. And then there's that middle ground of about 60 or 70 who would like to do the right thing, understand the national security implications, but are getting the snot beat out of them by their voters.
Right. And the president is now being convinced that loans, short-term loans, their forgivable loans might be the way to go. I think that when people try to minimize this, they'll say this is a conversation that Russia has to have with Ukraine. It's not our problem. What do you say to that?
Yeah. So when people talk about peace negotiations, they don't recognize that Vladimir Putin's already in violation of several dozen ceasefires, treaties. He's in violation of a treaty with the United States. So I am not – and no one's given me a reason to believe that Putin would honor a peace agreement right now when he hasn't honored one since he's been
in
office.
And he's on the front foot.
Yeah.
Right now, he's on the move.
Yeah. His army right now is bigger than it was when they started the war.
How did he do that?
Well, it's just conscription. He's conscripting a lot of people.
He's got a lot of people.
Yeah. Russia's not a free country. And so, you know, you get conscripted, and he's taken his economy from a civilian economy, and he's built it up. So it's now a war economy. So people that think he's not going to go into a NATO nation are not paying attention, because he's not building up this military to just have it lying around.
J.D. Vance, senator with military experience, Republican, said this:
the Israelis will need this stuff. The Taiwanese need this stuff. And of course, America needs this stuff. Can we possibly fight all of those conflicts at once? No, the math just doesn't make sense. So what we should be doing is, with Ukraine, encouraging them to take a defensive posture, not these disastrous counteroffensive the Biden administration has been promoting.
I don't know where J.D. Vance served in the military, but he's not paying attention to incentives, because, you got to stand up to Putin. Putin is a bully. You know, the reason that he went into Ukraine is because America showed weakness, and Biden showed weakness in his withdrawal from Afghanistan. And so you can't whether we like it or not, we're in a global conflict. And so the argument that he's using is that, you know, we don't have the weapons. Well, what we need to do is we need to manufacture those weapons, and we need to put ourselves on the war footing that China, Iran, and North Korea and Russia are on.
Do they believe – that's often said here, and I believe it. But when you're sitting there in Kyiv, and they say, man, if the U.S. didn't just do a ridiculous dismount from Afghanistan, if they only gave us maybe the lethal aid early on when Obama was president – if they only pushed back more, we wouldn't be in this place. They wouldn't have welled up troops. Then would they telegraphed an invasion and actually did an invasion?
Yeah. Well, what a lot of people don't know is that, you know, Russia invaded Ukraine in 2014 originally. And the president at the time came over, talked to Congress and said, please send me weapons. And Obama sent blankets. You know who sent weapons in 2017? Donald Trump. President Trump is the reason that Ukraine was able to hold off the Russians.
Javelins.
Yeah, yeah, the javelins. Yeah, exactly. So the so Donald Trump sent the weapons in 2017. In 2022, the Ukrainians were able to hold off the Russians. I was in Kyiv when it was surrounded on three sides by Russians, and they used U.S. weapons to push those Russians out.
So Stephen Moore, our guest, he is founder of the Ukraine Freedom Project, and he's been over in Kyiv. He says that the city looks like a city that is not under siege. It has power?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I live in Kyiv. I've lived in Kyiv since the beginning of the war. And when I went there, the line to get in was really short. The line to get out was really long. And so I went there to help. And
why?
Because it's the right thing to do. Because
are you Ukrainian?
I am not Ukrainian.
You just saw this.
I lived in Ukraine for a year in 2018 and made a lot of friends, loved it. And I got a job at an artificial intelligence company, an American one, that had 500 Ukrainian employees. So I had all these Ukrainian friends.
You saw how bright they are, hardworking they are.
Hardworking, entrepreneurial, freedom loving. I mean, if the Freedom Caucus talks about freedom, but they know nothing about freedom. The Ukrainians know about freedom because they're putting everything on the line for it. So I left my job in January of 2022, and I was trying to figure out, like, what do I do next? Do I go skiing in the Alps or skiing in the Rockies? Mm-hmm. And then my friends in Ukraine started calling me and saying, they're bombing Kyiv. I don't know what to do. And I'd spent a year or almost 2 years in Iraq at the beginning of that war, so I know what to do.
So I was watching Corey Mills. I respect him tremendously. He's the one who saved our led our crew operation, put an operation together to get everybody out of Afghanistan. He just saved a bunch of people in Haiti. He is now saying this is a problem that Europe really should be handling. He came out and said that he's got an accountability issue, too, with past weapons. We've gotten them. And he does not believe that this president is committed to your success. So what do you say to people like that who have proven war heroes, who are Republicans, that is just not sold on the the need for us to be directly involved providing all these weaponry?
Yeah. So I agree with the last one, is that the Biden administration has not done a good job.
They never talk about it.
Yeah.
They just say, of course we got to give them weapons, as long as it takes. And I hear Ukrainians hate that because they know that they'll lose that.
Yeah.
Because they have 40 million people as opposed to 125 million Russians.
Well, you and I right now are doing more to educate the American people on what's happening in this war than the president's done in 2 years.
Doesn't talk about it.
Yeah. And so
I mean, just come up with a map. Just go, hey, American people, let me just show you where we were in 1938. Let me just tell you this expansive power. Let me tell you documents that we've gotten out of Russia that shows they have designs, and they're not going to invade everybody. They're going to infiltrate Georgia like they have. Now they're in part of the Georgia's government. Moldova, they got these two breakaway republics. They keep reaching out to Russia. We got to help them out. And then Estonia, Lithuania, you start putting pro-Russian people in those countries. You don't need to fire a shot.
Yeah.
You saved the Belarus president, Lukashenko. And then you said, as a term for a prepayment, you become a vassal state.
Yeah. And what we're seeing is that if Ukraine falls, then Russia will be on the border with nine NATO countries. And, you know, I've heard members of Congress even say that Russia will never go into a NATO country. Well, the NATO countries that are next to Russia, who have the most information about Russia and the most to lose, are the folks that are putting the most money into Ukraine on a per capita basis.
Could they be doing more?
Europe is doing twice as much at this point as we're doing.
Proportionally.
Yeah. Yeah. No. In gross numbers. I'm telling you. So there's the Kiel Institute in Germany tracks this stuff. And I recommend everyone listening to this go to the Kiel Institute because they track all the donations to Ukraine. Europe is now doing twice as much as we are. They don't have the defense industrial base that we do, but they're sending all kinds of other aid.
Right. Okay, good. The other problem is the limitations. I know inside Russia, there was a huge drone strike about 3 weeks ago done by the Ukrainians. We put out a statement. We don't condone this. Really?
Brian.
Is that unbelievable to you?
It is insane.
You remember what I'm talking
about? I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, there's 12 refineries that the Ukrainians have hit since the beginning of the year. And they've taken out something like 20% of Russia's gasoline petroleum refinery capability. And that's money that they use to prosecute the war. So, and the Biden administration says, don't hit refineries. You know, and it's absurd.
Don't hit inside Russia.
Yeah, don't hit refineries inside Russia. Yeah, and it's just crazy. And because, you know, every day, listen, I live in Kyiv. I watch Patriot missile systems take out Kinzhal cruise missiles and Iranian drones.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Originally, you don't get HIMARS. Originally, there won't be any Patriot missile systems there.
Yeah.
Now they need to be replenished. Can you imagine if you guys, if we had a forward-thinking administration that said, we're going to give you Patriots, I think they're going to invade. We're going to get you as much weaponry as quickly as possible. They think they're going to try to take the Capitol. But yet we said they were going to do it, but we didn't do anything until they actually did it, except for famously offered Zelensky a trip like Gahani took.
Yeah.
Out of the country.
Yeah.
With everything that he could get his arms around.
Well, and Zelensky has a lot of flaws, but I'll tell you this, at the beginning of that war, he was the president that they needed to push back on this nonsense from the Biden administration.
What are his flaws now? You don't like what he's doing now?
Well, so he is
– fired a bunch of people.
Yeah, here's what I like what he's doing is that when corruption pops up, he takes it off at the head. And you know, the Supreme Court justice of Ukraine is in prison right now for corruption. When there was a $40 million corruption scandal in the Department of Defense, he fired the Minister of Defense and six of his deputies. So this is a country that's been struggling against this for decades now, and
which is one of the biggest criticisms. Yeah. Is that's a corrupt democracy. Yeah. Why are we supporting it?
Yeah, but I'll tell you this: what I've seen is that the aid money is very well protected. There's more oversight on the aid money to Ukraine than there was in Afghanistan. KPMG and Deloitte are both monitoring it. And you know, in terms of weapons, you know, I spent 5 hours coming out of Ukraine in a borderline last time. I didn't see any, you know, M777 howitzers being towed out of the country. And so there's a real sense with the aid money, people want to hang on to it.
Because you know why? Because they know, I imagine Ukrainians know, for a point of survival, if they're caught reselling this to another country, if they're caught manufacturing, giving it to the Russians, whatever it is, it's over.
Yeah.
You, without aid, you guys, as great of fighters as Ukrainians are, without aid, you're not going to be able to do anything. But this is the biggest criticism. What's happening to the money? And no one's saying that as if they know. They're saying, does every bullet go to the front line? Does all the money go where it is? I don't want to pay for pensions.
Yeah. No, those are valid things. And I'll tell you this, that the majority of the aid money, that good direct aid money, is coming from the Europeans. So we are doing primarily weapons and defense associated things with.
So how much is the North Korea artillery help Russia? How much has the dual use weaponry and parts from China helped Russia? How much of those Iranian drones help Russia?
Well, I will tell you about the drones for sure. And all of those have been made a really huge impact. North Korea sent like a million shells, vast amounts. If it wasn't for these countries, Russia wouldn't be able to fight. But the Iranian drones, I think, are particularly of concern because what they've been doing is the Iranians have been shipping the drones to Russia for the last year and a half. Russia has been firing them in Ukraine. They've been testing them, what works, what doesn't work. And you know, those 300 missiles and drones that went to Israel, they were perfected in Ukraine. Yeah. So Ukraine is Iran's testing ground.
It's amazing. I mean, at first, it got to be so embarrassing. This big behemoth Russia has to go to Iran. And then everyone was laughing when they brought it to North Korea. But no one's laughing now because now the Russians are now helping North Korea with their nuclear program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
we're watching the new axis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like to refer to it as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea. And they are, you know, these guys are all working together. You know, in my view, we are in World War III right now, and the only people acting on that information are adversaries.
And Steve, my last question to you, and you might not be able to answer it. He has former chief of staff in the House with the Ukrainian Freedom Project. You mentioned you moved to Kyiv. Is what would it take for us to expand for profit our military industrial base to the point where Lithuania, Taiwan, Estonia, Poland, now Sweden and Norway, they all want to buy it,
yeah,
buy our stuff for profit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some, like, Ukraine's not going to be able to afford it for a while. But these other countries want to be customers, and they are our allies. And the stronger they are, the less we're going to have to fight. So what would it take to get these companies to understand that there's money to be made in McDonnell Douglas and these other manufacturers and Raytheon.
Yeah, well, let me speak to that specifically with the drone war. Drones are the drone war is leaping in generations in Russia and Ukraine. One of those two countries is the best drone warrior in the world, and fortunately Ukraine is our ally. But I don't see a lot of American companies over there taking advantage of the rapid innovation cycle of building a drone, putting it to the front, finding out what's wrong, and you know getting another one there next week. And the Ukrainians are doing that. So if it's anyone that has the best technology for drones in the world, it's the Ukrainians.
But the one with the industrial base to make it in a massive way would be the U.S., right?
Yeah. Well, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal that showed that like Skydio drones, which are a defense manufacturer, they don't work in Ukraine. A friend of mine, an American fighting in Ukraine, had two teal Golden Eagle drones, which are, again, a defense firm that's got a contract with the Pentagon. He could not get them to work. So, you know, what does work? Chinese drones, DJI. What does work is Ukrainian drones. So this is a wake-up call, Brian. We need to be awake. We need to wake up and make sure we're getting with the program with our defense industrial
base. And I just think if it explained effectively, if someone understood systems and massive manufacturing – this is a for-profit industry. As Americans, we kind of like that.
Well, yeah, man.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, we're capitalists, last time I checked.
Steve, I appreciate everything you're doing. I think the cause is great. And soon, I hope you walk out of here knowing $65 billion is behind you.
Yeah.
Because we have to be successful.
Absolutely.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.